Hi, and welcome to another one of our little broadcasts. I'd like to thank you today for giving us a chance to bless you with another one of our little inspirational messages here. And hopefully, it'll motivate you to want to help us out with donating at least $5 a month to helping our cause so that we can continue to provide these podcasts and be able to get better equipment, maybe get more of a video feed to you down the road, and do a whole lot of other things. We're just asking for initial support of about 2,000 people giving at least $5 a month through our Patreon account, which there will be a link at the in the description below that will allow you to do that. And if you do, once again, it'll give you access to additional broadcasts that we're putting together to help deepen your prayer life so that you can learn how to be more of a prayer warrior and experience better results with your prayer. In all, I'm trying to get together about 60 different lessons so that you can bit by bit, day by day, get into a routine of prayer that really takes you deeper. But that's kind of a goal that I've kind of set out there that's going to take a little development. But once again, if you can, consider our patron program. It's just $5 that we're asking for every month, total of 60 bucks an entire year, to help us be able to provide these extra benefits. And in time, there'll be a Facebook page, hopefully to allow us to be able to get more better communication between me and you, and to let you know what's going on with the ministry on a more weekly setup. But anyway, today, what I'd like to talk about beyond that particular plug for helping this particular podcast to really get its legs going and get more viewers is to understand what's being talked about in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. For if we turn to those scriptures, we find that Paul discusses that he has suffered the loss of all things and do so for account of them being but dung, that he might win Christ and be found in him. Now, this is kind of one of those verses that make a lot of people go, what? Because it sounds like he's using a curse word or profanity when he considers his past life to be nothing but a bunch of dung, that there's just a pile out there. He's trying to give us an idea that his whole life was worthless in the ultimate sense of worthlessness. It was the greatest sign of trash. And in the old days, that's what piled dung was. It was the most undefiling thing ever. And he's considered his entire life beforehand to be worth that in order that he might win Christ, that he might be found in Christ, that he might be grafted in as a branch on the vine in the true sense of the word. And this is what is being talked about here, because he's talking about this continual interchange between him and God in a receiving and restoring kind of way, because he renounces his old life and he gains the new life that's found from being a branch on the vine in Christ. It's something that basically brings about everything that we need to have in life. And as we give up our past life and really take on to Jesus, that's when we're really able to receive the true benefits of the branch on the vine analogy that's being given to us in Scripture. When we're talking about our spiritual life, we need to look at the blessedness and that consists in our being able to receive from Christ every moment. A lot of us don't always see the great blessedness of eternity or what heaven and fellowship with God is really all about, because we're too focused on the things of this world, the things that we're not willing to give up, the things that Paul himself considered to be just worthless things. We're always looking to ourselves instead of to Christ. I'll never forget, as I talked about in a previous podcast, about a guy that was upset about being divorced and remarried and not being able to receive the Blessed Sacrament, and being upset because his life, the way he was living, was more important than receiving the Blessed Sacrament, because he wasn't willing to give up his second wife that puts him into a state of sin that the church can't recognize as marriage, because that was more important to him than remaining Catholic and going to Mass and being able to receive the Blessed Sacrament. And that was his breaking point. He considered the sacrament less than everything about his life, which is not the perspective that Paul asked us to have here. We need to have this ability to self-sacrifice ourselves for the kingdom of heaven, for Jesus Christ himself, if we are truly to abide in him, to be found in him, to truly be a branch on the vine. It's not about us. It's about him. It has to be focused that way. It's not about what we accomplish or what we want to do. It's what God wants to do in us where we're at. And that's a lot of the things. Because like yesterday when I was talking about the friend that basically was upset with God because they didn't finish a particular program in school, that they were upset that they didn't get someplace, that they didn't achieve something, instead of finding out in that moment where God has brought them. Because in every moment you're brought somewhere. That's kind of something that I've learned that I keep reiterating to people nowadays, it seems. And it seems to be a very timely theme, because a lot of us could get weighed down on where we don't go. I mean, if I thought about every past relationship that fell apart, every girlfriend that basically walked out of my life at some point, I kind of would miss some of the greater things of God. And that's something that as you go forward, as you really get into all this depth that's out there in Christ, that really needs to be understood. So as you move forward into the spiritual life with Christ, you need to understand that your past life is not as important. As Paul would later state in Philippians chapter 3, he counts all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. This here is very important. This is why he suffers the loss of everything, why he can have things stripped away from him, why he can be brutalized for the sake of Christ, because nothing else matters but Christ. It's not about what he accomplishes all by himself. It wasn't about him being the primus Sadducee, Pharisee, or whatever. It had to be with him being a man of Christ, a man of principle. When we think about all of the martyrs that have ever been in the church and died for the faith, they realized that their lives were not as important as their profession of faith with Christ. I'm reminded of, I think it was St. Polycarp, who once, when he was like 83 years old, being brought into a Roman Colosseum and being asked if he would reject Christ. And he says, I've been with him for all these years. I'm like 83 years old now. And never once has he ever forsaken me or dealt me wrong. So I'm not going to do him wrong in this last minutes of my life, because he had the perspective. He knew that his life really wasn't that important. And it's not so much what we don't do in life. I went to seminary. I was convinced for the longest time I was going to become a priest. Not too certain of that anymore, but that's because life has kind of moved me in a different direction. Do I know what tomorrow brings? Not exactly. Would I go back to seminary and be a priest tomorrow if the opportunity was there? Most likely. But it wouldn't be under the same circumstances as the last time. And there would have to be some understanding about things that were ignored and overlooked the previous time. And just little things like that. But do I really consider that to be a loss because I'm not? I can't think of that, because here I am talking to you with this podcast. So I move forward. You can move forward too. And it's learning the excellency that comes from knowing Christ, from having that moment-by-moment relationship, by having a relationship with God, not merely a religion or a profession of faith. A lot of Protestants have what's only a profession of faith. I confessed Jesus once. I said a sinner's prayer. I went forward for an altar call, but that was like 20 years ago. I might read my Bible, but do I really understand my Bible without it being all about me? And those kind of relationships are merely religions. They're window dressing. They're not about being in Christ right now and living out your Christianity moment by moment. Because if we look at the way we're supposed to live our lives, we're supposed to give up who we are. We're supposed to be willing to take up our cross daily and die to self. Because this is where we are truly transformed into the image of God, where we truly abide with him and he abides with us. We give up sin as one of the first things that we give up.
We don't necessarily go to the places where we are given to the near temptation of sin. As I've used the explanation before, an example before, that a alcoholic doesn't go back to a bar. He avoids that near occasion of sin. A person with problems of sexual promiscuity do not go to the places where they would meet the people and hang out with the people that would lead them into that kind of temptation and sin. It's all about knowing that there's no true conversion without giving up sin. You can't continue to live your own lifestyle. You can't choose to be self-identified as this or that. You have to be identified by who you are in Christ Jesus. It has to be more of an objective truth, not a subjective. Because when you really understand what sin really is and what the claims of God's holiness are, you can understand just how abiding in Christ will allow you to be able to overcome and through Jesus conquer your sin. Because just giving up sin in a superficial way doesn't do it. You have to give it up completely by wanting a deeper relationship with God, a relationship that's based upon you being plugged into Him who purges out everything that is unholy, and becoming more of a saint. Because as you learn to abide in Christ and learn to do it every moment, it becomes more of an uninterrupted flow of grace. And you truly get to experience the greater things of God, that grace, God's grace that is greater than all our sins that many Protestants have sung about throughout the ages. And it's that kind of grace that we're really trying to get a hold of. We're trying to avail of ourselves of the Spirit of God that gives us strength and power to conquer our own nature so that we can get into a more believing moment by momentary relationship with God and participate in true righteousness and holiness that comes only from fellowship with God one-on-one every moment of our lives. As we continue to get away from unrighteousness and give up our self identity and righteous claims, where we try to hold on to our own lives but consider them a bunch of worthless material because they're not found in Christ, and really truly turn our minds, that we'll actually get to a point to where we'll understand the presence of God more fully. In fact, we need to get to the point that Paul talks about in Romans 7, verse 18, that in me there dwells no good thing, talking about in his carnal nature, in his human makeup. And therefore, you're able to get past this corruption into something that really is the breathing of the Holy Spirit, that leading of the Holy Spirit that he talks about in Romans 8, to where you're truly led by the Spirit of God as a child of God. And this is what our whole life is supposed to be focused on. A life in prayer and worship and Bible reading and doing the things that God asked you to do with entire dependence upon the Holy Spirit for being able to help you do what you need to do, to have the abilities that you need to have, not to continue to walk in life in a way where you identify yourself as this, and that's the only way you want people to get with you. It's kind of the great flaw of our society nowadays, is this whole idea and myth, if you will, of self-identification. You can't call a woman a woman without understanding if she really wants to be identified as a woman. Because nowadays we have such a messed up idea of gender that it's based upon not biology, but upon what one's psychological condition is. And that's a problem. So you kind of get a little bit more further down the road that way. And you begin to realize that as you surrender yourself to God in this way and truly walk with Him, that you begin to understand how He leads, what His providence is in your life. And you stop looking at the things that maybe 10 years ago were important to you, but now it's not important because it's just a pile of filth, a pile of dung, a pile of worthless things that you don't want to have in your life anymore, because the more important thing is who you are in Christ Jesus right now. And that's the important thing. You may not be a doctor. You may not end up being a lawyer. You might not become president of the United States, but that's not the now that you're living in. The now that you're living in is being a branch on the vine, bearing that much fruit, having that abundant life, and going deeper with God in a way that is truly transformative. And these are the things that we need to have in mind. In fact, it's not enough that once you're truly converted and truly have an earnest desire for all the things in the service of God, that those things, even though they're good, they're not everything. There's more to do with just being able to understand the grace of God as it comes in sacrifice and surrender when you truly are crucified, when you really pick up your cross daily and you accept the burdens of life and you accept the disappointments that come with life so that you live not for yourself but for others. And the others that you live for are first God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then your neighbor as yourself. Because it's not how you love yourself, it's how God has loved you. When you understand that Christ went to a cross to die for you, and that's how much you are loved, that you can truly love your neighbor as yourself, not selfishly, but in the love that God gives you. Because there is no greater love than the love which Jesus Christ showed when he went to a cross. When a man dies for his friend, for his neighbor, because there is nothing greater, as Jesus said. It's that love that transforms you and moves you forward. And that's what is being gained. It's this greater love, this greater purpose, this greater everything that comes about from being a true believer in Christ. So if we truly see how the gifts and powers that God has available for us in Christ Jesus, as a child of God, are more important than who we were when we came to him, that we're able to overcome sin and not be still under the power of our human, carnal, earthly nature, a nature that is marked with concupiscence, that desire for sin, that weakness towards sinful things. And we can truly lay our lives at Christ's feet and realize through him the acceptance and cleansing that comes only by the power of God. And as we continually do this, we'll understand our true powerlessness in being able to live righteous, to where we really do need grace moment by moment. And we get to see that being self-reliant is very dangerous to your eternal security, to your eternal walk with God. Because by being self-reliant, you rely on your old nature, a nature that'll lead you into other temptations and sin, rather than being leaning upon Christ, leaning on the everlasting arm, thinking of a hymn that truly does give us the amazing grace, that how sweet the sound stuff, that stuff that really saves a wretch like me and truly brings you into the greater things of God. Because as we truly give up our lives to God, when we truly realize that our lives are something that we need accepted by him and have his stamp of approval on them, that you're able to receive back life more abundantly and hold them not as your own thing, but as his property, and be a steward and truly act under his influence and be his representative in the way that he calls you to be Christ-like, to be the image of God in the world. I can't state that plainly enough, because that's the whole point of why we were created in God's image in the first place, to be like him, to be Christ-like, to be Christian. This is where the experience begins to show a path of consecration to him that is truly going to give us the entire and full salvation that is promised for all of God's children. A promise that's made available because we persevere in faith, that we do not rely on a past situation or a future hope. We rely on who we are right now to be worked out into the salvation that God has planned for us, because he wills and does in us, as Philippians 2 points out to us. And it's realizing that as we abide in Christ more fully and forsake all to follow him, that we're able to really accept Him as the true blessedness of life and not look at all these other things that are only temporary, the things that can't truly satisfy and truly make the heart rest as it's supposed to, because our hearts are restless, as St. Augustine had famously said, until we find our place in Him. It's not the job that we want to have. It's not the career that we think we're going to go in. It's not the person we think we're supposed to marry. It's not the person we think we're supposed to be in and of ourselves. It's about the person we become in Christ. That's the important thing. That's where we hook up to. That's where we begin to find all things that are available to us as Christians. It's a principle that basically shows that when we truly give our occupations and processions to Him, that we truly reach into this area to where we truly are following Him. We become unlike the rich young ruler that's holding on to everything in his life because he has great possessions. It's realizing that we can sell all that we have, give to the poor, to follow Christ, because Christ is greater than all the possessions that we can have. That we don't have to be the rich young ruler who says, Lord, if I don't have this job by this day at this point in time, I'm not serving you. That's not the point. The point is that's not as important as truly being a Christian. It was one of the biggest struggles I had last year when I left the seminary was finding my self-identity and realizing that my identity was not wrapped up in me becoming a priest or not becoming a priest. It was about who I am as a Christian. Am I still Catholic even if the door shuts? Am I still Catholic even if the door opens? Am I Catholic? Do I really live out the faith that I'm being called to live in Christ? Do I live the kind of lifestyle that God is pleased with? Or do I just live for myself and do my own thing because I myself am self-identified as this or that? It's not about those things. It's about Christ. Because all those other things are worthless. They're just a pile of dung that isn't worth anything. And that's something that we have to understand. And we can go really deep into this and truly understand that all the spiritual gifts of God are something that are worked out by God's Holy Spirit within us. But it's only something that is given to us if we don't have our hands full of something else. You can't receive a gift if you have your hands full of other things. It's like the guy that's walking through the department store that has bags in it all over, and somebody asked him if he has a match. He can't drop everything and light the match without damaging the stuff. So he has to decide, is lighting the match worth dropping everything? Or is holding on to all that stuff worth everything? Is he for himself or is he for somebody else? And that's that whole imagery that comes out of that particular colloquialism in society. And it's something that helps you understand that as you do give up and take up a life that is truly moment by moment a abiding in Christ, that you come to a more blessed experience, an experience that comes from receiving the gifts of God that you're only a steward of. It's not your possession. It's something that you possess as a steward in praise and love and self-sacrifice and service to God. It's the talent that you're given to God, not talent that you create for yourself. It's not something you bury in the sand and hope just to give back to God at the end of the day. It's something that you use and that you are a good steward of, that you bring back more fruit, that you're able to as the scriptures say, see Him as somebody that sows where he doesn't plant and reaps where he doesn't sow and all that jazz, to really get into this deeper experience of what it is to truly experience God. It's the wonderful lesson of Isaac on Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered Isaac on the altar, but received a lamb instead, a lamb to be sacrificed instead of Isaac, because he was willing to give up his son. He was able to find a deeper promise and also have his son return back to him, because he was the son of promise. He was the one who had the gift of God as the promise of God that Abraham looked into. And yet when he was to be given up and sacrificed, he was given back a thousandfold in the people of God through the abundant promise that comes through the promise of progeny that Abraham was given. So we get this. We get to go a little bit deeper. We get to receive our lives back and receive it with a resurrection power that makes us partakers of eternity, that allows us to go a little bit deeper. And it really, truly makes our lives something more of a blessedness than they were before. Each surrender of everything we are to Christ as a single step, as an act or experience of a moment-by-moment relationship carries us deeper into this understanding of how we are stewards and how everything we have is something that is, in a sense, on loan to us from God. So we kind of go deeper into the things of God from that perspective. So, beloved, I would hope that you would see that you would need to abide in Christ and find this as a very blessed path, that you're not just looking to have blessings in your life for your own things, but you truly are being able to see and be transformed to receive a blessedness that comes from without, a without that blesses you within. And as you move forward and experience this moment by moment, you can experience how God is able to transform your life, give you his conquering power by his indwelling presence to overcome all sin, and to truly have life blessed 100-fold. And this is really where it comes in. As you truly become the good ground that is truly able to receive the word of God and to bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold blessing, that it's because of this simple fact that you realize that your life is not your own, that you give up your life by carrying your cross daily, and you reach out for what it is that God gives you. Because as you begin to do it, you learn the secret to truly living life, a secret that's based on a close abiding with God, where you give yourself entirely to God through Christ as a branch on the vine. It is only there that you find the power that God gives to every individual, the grace that allows you to live a more abundant life as you lose yourself and gain everything that you possibly can in Him. For as you take completely everything that God is for you and give up everything that you are to Him, that's when you experience the power of heaven. And that's when your life is truly transformed and you become more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. Hopefully this has been a blessing to you and gives you something that you can use today. If it has, and you're not a patron of this particular podcast, I would like to ask you one more time to at least consider giving a $5 a month donation to us so that we're able to do more things with this particular podcast. If we're able to get the minimum 2,000 and go over that and say get 3,000 people, we'll be able to do more things like being able to help out the St. Vincent de Paul Society and other great charities that help transform lives as well. And that's something that I'm kind of hoping that we're able to get to as well. But other than that, I just want to thank you for this particular moment that I was able to spend with you. And I hope that you have a good and blessed day.